Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Breakfast Pod on this Tuesday morning, the 22nd of November 2020. Andrew May is with you for the next 25 minutes as we update you in what has happened in the world of racing and sport. There's a hell of a lot going on. We'll start with the footy from last night as Port Adelaide secured a top spot on the AFL ladder for the fourth time in their history.
Collingwood on their way to Perth. And Port have done it. March all the way through to September. Looking down at every other team.
16 points, the final margin there over the Magpies. We'll run through all the reaction next on the Breakfast Bite. Plus plenty coming your way, including cricket, rugby, golf, NBA, NFL, EPL and tennis. Covered for you next on the Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Don't forget, after 6 this morning, the Breakfast Club returns with Half and Whitey, which will be another massive addition. Ronnie E to join the guys after 7 o'clock this morning. Looking forward to hearing from him. Hopefully get some Port Adelaide reaction as well. Danny Wilder from Channel 9, Scott McLaughlin, Supercars champion. So a very busy morning. And then after 8.30, Racing Pulse with Michael Felgate. Don't forget, Matty Hill always joins him on a Tuesday as well for Top of the Hill. And then from 10.30, Gareth Hall and RSN Central taking it through to the first of the day. But a lot to catch up with on his show as well, including the Tuesday hacks, as always on a Tuesday. Let's start with the footy from last night and the final score up at the Gabba. Port Adelaide, 9-7-61 to the Magpies, 7-3-45. In terms of the goals, Ebert kicked 2, Motlop kicked 2, and Majacek was the only multiple goal scorer for the Magpies. Let's have a listen to Ken Hinckley, a pretty happy man after the win and securing the minor premiership.
I loved our ruthlessness, I've got to say, from the start to the end. I thought it was, you know, a game against quality team who had a lot to play for, with an acknowledged Scott again. You're a fantastic player in this competition, and if you're going to play, you're going to play for a bloke like that. And we knew that was a challenge. We knew we had a great opportunity ourselves tonight, so we were motivated to play that brand that you talk about. And yeah, we were able to, at times, change the game pretty quickly and get it back on our terms. Really significant. The boys should deserve it. It's a 30-week season. You know, we've played for a long time and managed to protect it all the way through the year. And, you know, I think the first time in 19 years, I think, that someone's done that. And I'm just proud of the boys and the way they played. And, you know, they had to do it for a long period of time. And, you know, I know, led by Tom, that they were pretty determined tonight to get the job done. The teams who have been great teams for a long period of time, and we talk about Richmond and Geelong, and you know, Brisbane even last year finished second, West Coast, all those teams who have been up there, they deserve, because that's what you're getting for. You have to work really hard to change the narrative, and right now we're working really hard to try and change the narrative. We want to be one of them teams that people certainly respect.
Ken Hinckley there as Port Adelaide finished top of the table. Let's head to the Pies' reaction now. Nathan Buckley after the loss, and now a trip to West Coast on the agenda.
We've got to take the positives out of our year and out of this performance, and then look to improve on the areas where we fell short. You know, they were very good inside, in particular at clearance and in particular at centre bounce, which gave them a lot of territory, and we weren't good enough to be able to handle that for long enough. So, yeah, if that is the best team in the comp, and you know, the ladder shows that they are, then we're either not far away or a long way away. It's quite marginal in the contest, but yeah, we'll get some learnings out of that. You know, we were probably too happy to look for handballs under high pressure, slippery conditions. We went forward better in periods and actually looked dangerous. You know, trusted our forward contest a little bit more. We thought they were undersized without Cleary as a back line, but they were quite dominant, really. We just didn't test them with effective ball use often enough, and paid the price as a result. We allowed their back line to play the type of game that they wanted to play and didn't put them in vulnerable positions often enough.
So there we go. The finals are set in stone. Week 1 of the finals starting next week. Port Adelaide will play Geelong and Brisbane will play Richmond in the two qualifying finals. And then the two elimination finals, West Coast to face Collingwood, that likely to be in Perth, and St Kilda to face the Western Bulldogs. So more announcements to come, I'm sure, in the next 24 hours as we discover where those fixtures will take place. Let's head to a bit of a build-up before the final. It's going to be a long way in Thursday week until we get our first final. Luke Beveridge here talking about Mitch Wallace and Aaron Norton. Some good news for the Bulldogs.
Well, we think both boys should be okay depending on the circumstances of where we play, Robbo. Mitch had a bit of a deadening and a numbing of the arm at the time, so you probably saw the expression on his face. And, yep. You know, and the shock to the system. It appears as though, you know, he's obviously got an injury there, but we think he's going to be okay. And he might have a little bit of instability in his shoulder. It remains to be seen. Our medical staff will need to strap it up, but, you know, I don't think it's something that's going to hold him back. And Norts will be operated on tomorrow. And again, as I said, depending on the circumstances, we're hoping he's going to be available based on, you know, the history of these types of injuries.
So it's great news for the Western Bulldogs. Hopefully those two boys will be fit and raring to go as the Dogs will play St Kilda in a couple of weeks' time, still waiting on those fixtures. Let's head to Mark Blitzars now. He spoke yesterday. The Cats will be playing a little later on in the final series against Port Adelaide. They'll have to travel away from home, but his smother in the last seconds of the game might have just secured them that double chance.
I was just right place, right time, I think. I just saw the City player go to kick it, and I just reacted, I suppose, instinctively and was lucky to touch it. So, yeah, happy with the win and the top four spot. Some of our contest work teams are just coming after us and winning it in the contest really well and getting it forward, and we haven't been able to move the ball as much as we'd like, but we still believe we're very confident with the work we've done throughout the year to get us to this point. We think our best is good enough, and to take on anyone, we just need to continue to improve and fix the little things. So, yeah, it's been a good home and away season to finish top four. We've done that. And now we reset and go again for this finals campaign.
So Geelong to face Port Adelaide away from home in week one of the finals. More footy to come a little later on in the breakfast bite. Let's head to the cricket world now, where Justin Langer spoke yesterday. Likely the Australian team's going to be in a biosecurity bubble for the entire summer. So if you think about the Aussie cricketers, they've gone to England in a bubble. They've left that bubble, gone to India, a number of them, for the Indian Premier League, or the UAE, as it's being held there this year, in another bubble. And then they're going to go from that to the Australian bubble over summer. So a lot of sacrifices being made by Australian cricketers is what Justin Langer had to say yesterday.
I know they get paid well, but the sacrifices to their families and for the game of cricket are huge, and we must admire, I certainly admire and respect them for that. But if you think of a David Warner or a Steve Smith or a Josh Hazlewood or a Pat Cummins, they had their quarantine before they left for England. They go straight into the IPL. They play that competition, they come back for 2 weeks strict quarantine back in Australia, and then we start a summer of India against India, which is one of the biggest our biggest rivalries and competitors in world cricket today. So, you know, these guys are under huge pressure, and that's why we've got to care for them and look after them and make sure they're going okay. And if they need a chop out, then as I said, they will have 100% support to do that.
Let's head to one of the major stories of yesterday coming out of the US. There was a couple, by the way. We'll start with the US Open Golf. An incredible victory for Bryson DeChambeau yesterday. He finished at 6 under the card, 6 clear of the field. Matthew Wolf in second position and Louis Oosthuizen in third on +2. So an incredible performance for his first major. This is the final putt.
Why not Bryson DeChambeau? A major winner at the U.S. Open.
So an extraordinary performance by him. And then hours later on the court in the NBA, Anthony Davis did this with about 2 seconds left on the clock.
Today, here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers! Anthony Davis in the clutch. The bomb.
Unbelievable stuff yesterday. The Lakers 105, the Nuggets 103. A buzzer beater from Anthony Davis from downtown. Hit the three, and the Lakers take a 2-0 lead in that playoff series. Let's hear from Anthony Davis, who, I must admit, after sinking that three-point shot, wasn't quite as excited as I thought he might have been.
Was there any doubt in your mind who was taking that last shot?
No. We ran the play, supposed to be for Bron. I looked at Rondo the whole time. You know, people talking about never been in this moment, pressure, am I ready for it? I want to take those shots. You know, it's part of the legacy. I want those shots. I want the big-time plays. You know, and we're going to live with me, die with me shooting the last, you know, game-winning shots, and I made it. You know, this is what they brought me here for. I made big-time plays. Obviously, we win the Mamba jerseys. Never want to lose in these jerseys. Never want to lose at all, but that's a hell of a team. They're going to keep fighting. They fall all the way to the last shot. You know, we know that's what they're going to do. You know, they're a team that's proven it this entire playoff series, you know, their entire playoff run. So, you know, hats off to them, but, you know, we want to come here and do what we got to do.
Let's head back on home soil with the NRL, the final weekend of matches to be played this weekend. The Melbourne Storm, as we know, have secured a top two spots, another fantastic season for them. James Hooper on Fox Sports last night, you might remember yesterday there was a bit of a spat between Ricky Stewart and Graham Annesley. Ricky Stewart going nuts post-match after the Canberra Raiders game yesterday and criticising the officials and Graham Annesley, who's in charge of them. James Hooper on Fox Sports last night reporting that they have smoked the peace pipe, these two, and it's A-OK again.
Ricky clearly wasn't happy with the way that his team was playing yesterday, nor was he happy with the officiating from the referee. As a result, he got heated during the course of the game. I think we're getting a bit precious if we want to blow up about plastic water bottles. It didn't hurt anybody. I don't think it was ever in danger of hurting anybody. There's nobody there in front of the box. It was a moment of passion. Ricky has since spoken with Graham Annesley, most importantly, today. They have cleared the air. They have smoked the peace pipe. There are no lingering issues. Probably the most interesting thing about that is, Warren, those two hadn't spoken since the six again furore from Ben Cousins back in the NRL Grand Final last October. So it had been a long silence.
Sounds like it's been a very long grudge, but hopefully things have been sorted between those two. Let's head to the other code of rugby, rugby union. Tom Wright is a Brumby who's just coming off winning the Super Rugby Premiership. Now he's turned his attention to hopefully getting a call up for the Wallabies. He's in the squad, but not in the starting 15 as of yet.
That's the best part about being in a team sport. You get to hopefully be a part of success individually, but then collectively, obviously, getting to see so many guys picked and be a part of, hopefully, Bledisloe Cup matches, and then obviously into the Rugby Championship. Obviously, you want to see guys and your teammates succeed, and yeah, it's really exciting.
Time for a break on RSN. On the other side of this, we'll catch up on the rest of your footy news, plus all the action from overseas, NFL, EPL, and tennis, as Novak Djokovic continues his unbelievable run, except for that slight blemish at the US Open overnight.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
His first job will be to try and attack a Matt Target corner. In by Target, Ming's got a flick. And Konsa scored. Aston Villa's two giant centre-halves combine. And Ezri Konsa gets the key touch. That offers them their first goal of a new campaign at the Holt End.
So Aston Villa 1-0 earlier this morning over Sheffield United, who copped a red card. Villa securing all 3 points. Live score at the moment in the English Premier League. Manchester City lead Wolves 2-0. That one 38 minutes into the first half. So I'll keep you up to date with that score throughout this morning. Let's head to the tennis world now, where Novak Djokovic did this overnight against Diego Schwartzman.
What a great point to win it. Djokovic. And Novak Djokovic is a winner in Rome once again. 7-5, 6-3. It's a fifth title here for the undisputed world number one.
Yeah, the most ever Italian Masters wins. He wins 7-5, 6-3, as you heard, over Diego Schwartzman, who was the number 8 seed, of course, knocking off John Millman a couple of matches ago. Djokovic takes a title, so fair to say he's bounced back pretty nicely after his interesting exit from the US Open, is what he had to say after the win.
Novak, many congratulations. It is a fifth Rome title and another landmark in tennis history for you. You're now the clear leader in Masters 1000 titles on 36. Wonderful occasion for you today.
It is. It was a great week, a very challenging week. I don't think I played my best tennis throughout the entire week, but I think I found my best tennis when I needed it the most in the decisive moments today, yesterday, practically every match. You know, that makes me definitely very satisfied and proud that I managed kind of to find that fifth gear when it was most needed. Now we're turning to Paris. Obviously, I couldn't ask for a better tournament here in Rome, another big title. I'm, you know, super pleased with that.
And a word on Diego, of course, had played some wonderful tennis, wasn't he? And also playing in his first Masters 1000 final.
Yeah, I mean, Diego, obviously, first Masters title finals for him, but you know, he played well. Heavy conditions, especially at the beginning, you know, drizzling, raining, noise all around, you know, a bit windy, so you know, it took me and him a bit of time to really get used to the conditions. And obviously he played many long matches. He's had a fantastic wins against Nadal and Shapovalov last night, so credit to him for a phenomenal tournament, and I wish him all the best in the rest of the season.
There we go. Novak Djokovic with another Masters title to his name. Let's head to the NFL before we get back to the AFL. Yesterday, the Seahawks were able to just edge out the Patriots, and there's a couple of live games we'll update you on as well.
This is it.
Fullback's going to shift to be lead blocker. Here we go.
Cam is going to take it himself, and he doesn't get in. And the Seahawks are going to win the game.
35-30, the final score. Meanwhile, some of the other fixtures from yesterday. The Buccaneers beat the Panthers, 49ers over the Jets. The Titans beat the Jaguars. The Steelers over the Broncos. Packers beat the Lions. Bills over the Dolphins. Cardinals beat Washington. Colts over the Vikings. Ravens over the Texans. And the Chiefs beat the Chargers. Later on today, 10:15, the Raiders will take on the Saints. So a big game for New Orleans. Again, looking forward to that later on this morning. And then the next week starts on Friday with Thursday night NFL action in the US. Let's head back to the footy world, and we'll start with the Western Bulldogs. Josh Dunkley here giving us an update on their finals ambitions for 2020.
Finals footy, it always ramps up. And for us, last year we wasn't our best performance, so we'll be ready for what's coming. But I think, you know, there was a lot of players that played in that final and that will play next week, and you know, a lot of experience as well. So it's exciting, and I think we're ready for whatever comes. But last three games especially, we've played some really good footy. Throughout the mid part of the season, we were playing against some good sides, but just couldn't quite get the consistency amongst the quarters. So the last three games have been really good. We showed that against Geelong, a really good opponent. The first quarter was really good, but then we sort of came off our footy a little bit. So yeah, it's important, I think, looking at that going forward, that we can play against the best players and best teams in the comp and really take it up to them.
So they'll take on the Saints. Here's Max King catching up with Steve-O on Channel 7 about their chances against the Western Bulldogs.
I'm pretty lucky that in my first real season I get that chance to play finals, but yeah, it's a long time coming for a few of the older boys like Timmy Membry and Seb Ross, so yeah, everyone's stoked. I think our connection as a group's grown a lot. It sort of becomes your family up here when you don't have family.
To West Coast now, Len Duggan has spoken about going home, although there's a bit of a caveat on that. Hasn't yet got the official tick of approval. We assume they'll be taking on the Pies over in Perth, but we'll wait until the official fixture comes out.
Yeah, it's been nice to get back and reset, I suppose. We've been joined by a few boys that didn't come over to the hub with us that are on the mend from their injuries and surgery. So good to be back within our four walls and back at home, obviously. And yeah, it's just been nice to hit that reset button and gear up, I suppose, for the next part of the year, which is the business end, which we all want to be a part of. So we've put ourselves in a position there to have a crack and just go and enjoy this little reset while we can. The belief's got to be there. Obviously, it's a win at all cost scenario that we're in now, and yeah, it's really exciting for us. It's sort of a good way to be, because the only way we can do is to win. So there's no ifs or buts about it. But yeah, we're excited to face a challenge.
So the finals are locked in at this stage. In case you're just waking up, the final result from 2020's home and away season. Last night, Port Adelaide, 16-point winners over the Magpies. The final score up there at the Gabba, 9-7-61 to the Magpies, 7-3-45. The goal kickers, 2 for Ebert and 2 for Motlop. Meanwhile, Brody Majcik was the only multiple goal kicker for the Pies, so it means the final eight finishes as such. Port Adelaide on top with 14 wins from their 17 games. Eagle top with Brisbane, who finished in second because of percentage. Richmond in third, Geelong fourth, fifth, West Coast sixth, St Kilda seventh, the Western Bulldogs, and eighth, the Pies. It means week one of the finals will see Port Adelaide take on Geelong and Brisbane take on Richmond in the two qualifying finals. Then West Coast will host Collingwood and St Kilda will face the Western Bulldogs. So plenty of interesting action to come over the next couple of weeks. We'll have to wait until Thursday week until we get a taste of footy again. Just wrapping up with footy, we'll finish with Rory Sloane. They had a Mad Monday of sorts. Yes, so the Adelaide Crows, very strange. Looked like they were at a golf club having a couple of beers after a round yesterday. It wasn't quite the Mad Monday we've become used to. Rory Sloane speaking yesterday about the future of Brad Crouch, who is a free agent, of course, and the Crows season as a whole.
Nothing's been, I think, said or done yet. So we love Brad. Obviously, we'd want to do everything to keep him. And again, that'll just unfold. Well, I mean, we finished bottom of the ladder, first time in the club's history. That hurts, that stings, and that'll sting the playing group. But I also think that should light a little fire to make sure this playing group is driven to make sure it never happens again for the footy club. And yeah, that was the way we started, obviously, Norton 13, but the last couple of months was really solid footy. And it would have been, I mean, previous years you might have seen teams just fall off the cliff. But we stuck at it and ground out 3 really solid wins.
So we go, Rory Sloane there. Yes, they're reflecting on the Crows season. They finish bottom of the ladder. They will have pick number 1 in next year's draft. So plenty of decisions for them to make in the off-season, that's for sure. That's it for the Breakfast Bite on this Tuesday morning.